Amen. Hey, amen. 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 Everybody now. Amen. Oh, we're going to break out in a spiritual. Amen. Love it. All right. Praises and testimonies tonight. Praises and testimonies. Anybody in the back? Yes. Do what now? Grown kids are going to church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Good, good, good. That's the answer to prayer. Amen. God is good. And all the time? That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. Years on Friday. Happy anniversary. Yeah. Are you talking about here or in heaven? Amen, brother. Amen. That's great. That's great. Other praises, testimonies tonight. Yes, sir, in the back.
I praise the Lord for a job interview this Wednesday.
Oh, you got one coming this Wednesday. Okay.
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. Very good. Another hand in the back. Yes, sir. Yeah. Good for you, man. Amen. That's a good word. Outstanding. Others. Praise. Yes, sir, Ron. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What's the old boy's name?
Dylan.
Dylan, okay. Well, let's pray for Dylan right now. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we pray for this Dylan at Brother Ron's work. And Lord, he seems to be somewhat open to hearing the gospel. And Ron is, Lord, is trying to share truth with him. And Lord, life-changing salvation with him. And Lord, we pray that the discussion would not be argumentative, but that Dylan would receive the truth and that the Holy Spirit would apply it to his heart and convict him of it. And Lord, he would continue to ask Ron these questions. And Lord, I pray that the questions would build all the way to how does one receive this Christ? What does the Bible say about receiving this Christ? Lord, I pray that soon, maybe a month, 3 months, 6 months down the road, I pray that soon, Lord, there would be a Romans Road presentation. From Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, 10 and 10, 10, 11, all of those verses, Lord, I pray that there would be an opportunity to share the gospel with this Dylan and that he pray to receive it. Lord, what an incredible testimony of being used of God as Brother Ron sows this seed. I pray that others would also sow into Dylan's life. And God, I pray that you would get the glory and the honor for another one, for another soul getting saved and coming home. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, and we lift it up. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Other praises or testimonies? Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Amen. Keep our mind on the Lord. That's right. His word. That's right. What else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Uh-huh. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good for you. All right. Right. Right, amen. I feel you. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I hear you. Yeah. Right. Amen. You got an interview. Jeremiah's got an interview. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God performs miracles. He's still doing the miracle business. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We lift up Joe to you tonight, Lord. We lift up Jeremiah to you as they both approach life-changing, perhaps, interviews this coming Wednesday. Change their venue of work, Lord, and their direction of work. And, Lord, if it be thy will that Joe and Jeremiah get these jobs, we pray that it would be there would be a peace, Lord, that passes all understanding, that the door would be open, that the invite would come. And, Lord, we pray you might allow them to earn their bread this way. We thank you for the blessing of work and for the opportunity, Lord, to move up and move on. And, Father God, we just we pray you give them the calmness, that you give them the spiritual assurance as they go into those interviews, that they are children of yours and that, Lord, they can hold their head up high because you're in control and you're loving them and you're helping them. But, Lord, we just lift them up to you tonight and pray you... You help them, direct them, give them wisdom as they answer those questions. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 9 as we continue on. We are in the sixth trumpet. Now, I am going to, some of you have probably heard this passage preached maybe a little bit different. When we get to the 200, golly, the King James Version calls it, let me see what it says. I was looking at it this afternoon as I was going over my notes. It calls it the 200,000, and that is actually, the NASB calls it 200 million, okay? So we're gonna look at that. You may have heard that preached a little bit different than what I'm going to approach it. The commentators are kind of divided on that. What is that army? What makes up that army? And based on the scripture and the way it is described, I take it one way. And there are other good men of God that you may be their fanboy or their fan woman, and they take it a different way, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. It's all going to pan out in the end. Amen. Revelation chapter 9. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation 9, beginning in verse 13. And I'll read it through the balance of chapter 9, that is verse 21. The Word of God reads this: Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for that, for the hour, and day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you again, we praise you and thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, as we've already asked, we pray that our hearts would be open to receive the truth tonight. And Lord, may you just wash us, make us more into the image of Christ. And Lord, just give us boldness in our witness as we think about the condition of the lost, the judgment of the earth, and what people without Christ will have to deal with. Lord, thank you that we are saved tonight. Thank you that we're moving upward and onward from here, and we'll not be a part of this. Father God, we praise you and we love you tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, here we are. We're continuing on in Revelation chapter 9, and we've been plugging along through it here. It's 21 verses, and we're basically in the second half of it this evening. And when we think about chapter 9, the images depicted in this chapter make it one of the most disturbing passages in the entire Bible. In verses 1 through 12 of chapter 9, we studied a description of a swarm of demons likened to a swarm of locusts. These demons released from hell came to the earth to torment all those who refused to bow to God. They tormented men for 5 long months and brought terrible suffering to the unsaved. The only grace in those verses is the fact that those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior will be spared from that attack. It is also a blessing to know that those who are saved today, that'd be us that are saved, we will miss that terrible time because we will be where? We will be safe. We will be where? We will be at home. We will be where? We will be in heaven. We will be where? We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So as we continue to look at the events of chapter 9, we come to the sixth trumpet judgment. When the trumpet sounds, a voice is heard to speak from between the horns of the golden altar. The mention of this altar reminds us of the golden altar of incense that was in the tabernacle and later the temple. The golden altar was where incense was burned as an offering to God. The golden altar was the place of prayer, the place of intercession. The golden altar was a place of mercy where prayers could be offered to the Lord. But in these verses, the place of mercy has become a place of judgment. When people reject the grace, when they reject the mercy, when people reject the love of God, listen to me, they are left with nothing but His wrath. That's all that's left. That's all that's left. Wrath and judgment. That is what we're going to see literally in these verses. The world has rejected grace, mercy, and love, and they are given wrath and judgment. So basically two things tonight as we begin to think about these verses. We won't get through all of them tonight. I think we get to about 16 or so. About 19. We're going to get to 19 there at the end. Or maybe we get to 19. But two things about 13 through 19 as we begin to process what's going on here. A lot in these passages. Number one, we see the release of demons. The release of demons, verses 14 and 15, right? And the four angels who had been prepared, verse 15 I'm reading, and the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. One saying, verse 14, to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. I really like the way the King James Version reads in this verse. You say, well, Pastor, it reads pretty much the same, except for one word right there at the very end, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. In. I think that's a better interpretation of what's going on there in the New Testament Greek. The voice from the altar commands the release of four fallen angels that have been kept bound in the Euphrates River. Now, three things about the release of these demons. Number one, we have the place of the release. We just read it, said it, talked about it. River Euphrates, verse 14. The River Euphrates. This river is one of the most prominent rivers in the Word of God. In that Euphrates, the very waters of it were sourced from the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 14. The banks of this great river have witnessed many firsts of humanity. The first sin, the first apostasy, the first murder, and the first rebellion against the Word of God all occurred in the region of the Euphrates. The ancient city of Babylon sprang to life along the banks of this river. Babylon was the birthplace of false religion. It is the birthplace of demon worship and of idolatry. Many of the false religions practiced in our world today can trace their origins all the way to Babylon. This area was the home of Nimrod, as Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 tells us. He was the father of many vile, ungodly worship practices, some of which still exist to this day. Along the banks of the great Euphrates was where all of the great cultural, religious, and political systems of the world came to life. This river was said to be the eastern boundary of the land promised to Abraham, as Genesis chapter 15, verse 18 reads. This river forms the dividing line between the Middle East and the Far East. And today, the world's geopolitical attention is focused on this area. And it'll kind of simmer off and simmer away. We won't hear much about it. And then it'll all spool back up and everybody's attention will be on this just back and forth before the Lord returns. And this area will continue to be the focus of the world's attention until Jesus comes in glory. The release of the demons, right? We see the place. But secondly, there's a plan behind their release. Verse 15, we're prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. These angels have been kept bound for millennia until a specific period of time. The sovereign God is going to use them for His own purposes as He judges the earth. As we read this book, your perception may be, when we think about all of the mayhem and all of the death and all of the carnage and all of the disaster, as we read this book, your perception may be that things are spinning out of control, but the opposite is really true. The opposite of that. God is in control, and He's working out His perfect plan, His perfect will, according to a highly detailed, specific timetable. Let me tell you something. God's never late, and He's never early. He's right on time, man. The one who created time knows when to show up in time. Amen? He knows what He's doing, and He can be trusted. And let me give you just a point of application as we think about the sovereignty of our God. He knows what He's doing in your life as well. Amen? Your perception of how your life is going may not always acknowledge that God knows what He's doing with you. I mean, you look at your circumstance and you look at the struggle and you think about the pain and you think about all that's going on and you think, man, is God really in the midst of all this? Well, I want to tell you, if you're saved, He's right there in the midst of it with you. And he's got a plan, man. He's got a plan. And his plan for you is a good plan. It's the best plan, and he will bring his perfect will in regards to you in his time. Amen? Amen. Well, not only do we see the plan behind the release and the place of the release, but thirdly tonight, we see the purpose for their release. Verse 15, so that they would kill a third of mankind. Now, I want you to consider this as I get a little bit of water here. Ron, remind me to pray for Seth Knight. Seth Knight, as we end. I want you to consider this. Revelation chapter 6, 8 basically says that a fourth of the earth's population are killed. Then Revelation 8, 11 says that many die from drinking poisoned waters. Think about the population. Sociologists are telling us that the population is going to top out at about 7 billion. I believe that's about the population that was on this earth when the great flood came, about 7 billion. You say, really, that high? That high. Man, you live to be 1,000, you have kids up to your 500s, right? I mean, a lot of people, right? 7 billion, right? I think that's about what the earth handles, about 7 billion, and something catastrophic happens. God comes back, Jesus comes back, some kind of natural disaster. If the population of the earth is about 6 billion, when the tribulation begins, you say 6 billion, well, how do you get from 7 to 6? Well, I get there after approximately, and I'm an optimist, amen, I'm a gospel mission-minded optimist. I'm hoping and praying and believing that there's a billion raptured worldwide. South America, Africa, China, I mean, Canada, Mexico, all of it, man. Antarctica, 5 people raptured in Antarctica. Amen. You know, they got to catch up, or we catch up to them wherever it happens, right? Yeah. As God moves from the east to the west, gathering his children, his church, right? A billion. Now, maybe I'm overshooting it there, and that certainly is above my pay grade to say that, but I'm trying to stay around 6 billion for the leftovers. Amen? Then the world's population, by the time we get here, will have been cut in half by the time the sixth trumpet judgment is carried out. 33 billion people gone. Still got 3 billion people on the earth. Out of that, one-third of humanity is slaughtered. That's another 1 billion people. So now you're down to 2. Imagine in the space of a few short years, 50%, one out of every 2 people living on the earth are dead and gone. In the United States of America, depending on how many folks are saved here and make the rapture, that would be the equivalent of 100 to 150 million people dead in a very short period of time. Now, last Sunday night in dealing with Revelation chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, we said that death will take a holiday for 5 months, but when death comes back after those 5 months, death is coming back with a vengeance, and a billion plus will die at the hands of these 4 fallen angels and this army that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Now, you believe angels have power, do you? Amen? Angels have power, and fallen angels have power as well. Daniel found this out when he prayed to the Lord, and the answer to his prayer was delayed 3 weeks by demonic activity. Take your Bibles with me if you want to look right quick. We'll go to Daniel. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10, verses 12 and 13. Have you found it? Daniel 10, 12 and 13. The Word of God reads, chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. We're talking about a demon there. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. We're talking about an archangel there. for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Make sense to you? Amen? Do angels have power? Yes? Do fallen angels have power? Yes. Now, this is where we struggle. We cannot see the struggle. This is where we struggle. We can't see it, right? But there is a struggle going on around us right now, if you believe the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." They are in the air. Theologians have surmised, I've read much on the topic, they have surmised based on the Word of God, and I have always tended to agree that angels and demons, the demonic and the angelic realm, are at war all around us. No more so than when the invitation begins. No more so than when the invitation begins. The angelic is trying to hold off the demonic. The demonic is trying to get into the minds and the hearts of those that are lost, right? To keep them lost, right? One day, the reality of spiritual battle will be made real to humanity as four demons will be released on this earth, and one-third of the remaining human population, 1 billion plus, will die. Now, that's point number one, the release of demons. We get to this second point, and I think we'll be able to cover it, what I need to say on this tonight. And what would the second point be then? Well, it would be a demonic army for killing one-third of the people that are left here. A demonic army. Verses 16 through 19, look at it with me. "The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths." Verse 19, "For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm." These four demons will be released with the mission of killing one-third of humanity. They will use their power to lead a vast demonic army, another demonic army, like the one we had at the first part of Revelation chapter 9. The four demonic angels will use this demon army to accomplish their mission. The terrible slaughter that's coming for this world will completely disrupt this human society that is left here. The problem of disposing of the dead bodies alone will be inconceivable. 1 billion-plus bodies worldwide need to be disposed of. There's not enough morgue space. There's not enough grave space developed. What do you do with them? The sickly stench of decaying corpses will permeate the world. Like you go down to Galveston and you smell the sea. You reach heavily populated areas and you smell that. It'll take an enormous effort on the part of the survivors to bury them in mass graves or to burn them in heaps of bodies. How these demons will inflict death is specifically revealed to us in this passage. But before we get to that, let's talk about the size of this army. 200,000 in the King James Version. The translators of the New American Standard, they do the math for us and they give us that what? That 200 million. 200,000 to slaughter well over 1 billion people, that will require an unimaginably powerful force. Now, do you think this is representative, Pastor, or do you think this is an exact number? I think it's an exact number. I think it's 200 million. That's what I think. I don't think it's being generally specific. I think it's being accurately listed for us here. Amen? Then, the Holy Spirit, as if anticipating that some skeptical readers would doubt that huge number, John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, emphatically insisted on the precision of the number, testifying when he says, "I heard the number of them." Hey, I'm writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but you know what? This number, I heard it. I heard the number of them. In addition to the demons who have roamed the earth throughout history, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places that we read of in Ephesians chapter 6:12, then you have the recently cast to earth demonic horde in chapter 9:1, and then again there's going to be another one in chapter 12:4, and then the innumerable bound demons released from the abyss at the sounding of the fifth trumpet comes a new demon army 200 million strong. 200 million strong. The use of the plural armies, where is that at? Y'all help me, armies. What verse? You know where it's at. I'm not seeing it. Armies. 16, thank you. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Should have underlined it. Got to mark the Bible, amen. Armies, right? What are we saying about armies? Well, you got four. You got four released big-time demons out of the Euphrates. You got 200 million. There's four armies of 50 million apiece. Amen? Does that make sense? Right? Four armies of 50 million apiece, or however they divided into four armies, each commanded by one of the formerly bound demons. Now, some have suggested, now this is where I go, there's just a debate on what this is. Some have suggested that this is the human army referred to in chapter 16, verse 12, and led by the kings from the east. And that's okay if you want to hold to that, or the pastor that you love, that's how he preaches it. They get there. Where do they get there? They get there noting that the Red Chinese Communist Army reportedly numbered 200 million in the 1970s. And I will tell you this today, the Chinese... And the Chinese are going to go through judgment just like the rest of the world. But the Chinese today, they have about 324 million men of age, of military fighting age right now. But you can imagine going through the attrition of the judgments and everything else that number would be whittled down significantly. Reasons why this is not a human army, I'll just give you a couple reasons. Though there may be at that time an existing standing army of 200 million, I doubt it. I don't see it very probable that there would be a human standing army of 200 million with everything going on in the world. Though there may be at that time an existing standing army of 200 million, the impossibility, try to wrap your head around the impossibility of marshaling all of these men, of supplying all of these men, of transporting all of these men, such a vast human force all over the globe, it argues against this army being a human army, 200 million. It's mind-boggling. The figurative language, reasons why this is not a human army, the figurative language used to describe this army's horses suggests that this is a supernatural rather than a human force, as does the fact that it is commanded by the four newly released demons from the Euphrates. So those are reasons why this is not a human army. Let me give you some reasons why this is a demonic army. Number one, before describing the horses, the actual agents of destruction, John briefly described those who sat on them. How did he describe them? He said he noted that the riders had breastplates. Breastplates, the color of fire, and then the color of hyacinth, and then the color of brimstone. The color of fire is red. The color of hyacinth is dark blue or black. It's got a grayish blue to it, like smoke. And that of brimstone, a sulfurous yellow, describing the rock, which when ignited, produces a burning flame and suffocating gas. Those are the very colors and features of a place called hell, as described in the book of Revelation in chapter 14:10. In chapter 19, verse 20, in Revelation chapter 20, 10, and then again in chapter 21, verse 8. And these colors and features of hell, they paint a terrifying picture of God's wrath poured out on the sinful world by this demonic army. These colors are reminiscent of the destruction of, guess where, Sodom and Gomorrah and the nearby cities, as you can read about in Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 through 28. So as we think about reasons why this is a demonic army, I give you some. Are these real horses or something else here in verse 19 that the demon armies ride? Well, horses, if we study the biblical record, horses are frequently associated with warfare in Scripture. I mean, I've just got reference after reference. The references are too numerous to even state tonight. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, starting out in Exodus, going all the way to Joel and Nahum. I mean, there are just references over and over again of horses being frequently associated with warfare in Scripture. However, it is clear from this passage that these are not actual horses. John noted that the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. Like lions, these demon forces fiercely, relentlessly, determinedly stalk and slaughter their victims. I think last time we talked about lions, we said they hunt in a pack, don't they? Yeah, they hunt in a pack. They gang up on and take down their victims. John noted three ways that the demon horses killed their victims, all of which picture the violent, devastating fury of hell. They incinerate them with fire. They asphyxiated them with smoke and brimstone. And then John saw that the devastating result of this deadly demonic assault was to be that a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. Now, a word you don't want to miss as we come around third base heading to home. Amen? Don't miss the word plagues. See it there? Plagues. Got it? Plagues. What verse is it in, Bobby? 18? A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues. You're going to see this word as we move through the rest of the book of Revelation. It's going to be used frequently in the remainder of the book. Chapter 11, 6, 15, 1, 15, 6, 15, 8, 16, 9, 16, 21, chapter 18, 4, chapter 21, 9, chapter 22, 18. It's a term for the destructive final judgment. So what's going on here with this instance of plagues here? John, the great revelator, John, the author of Revelation, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John is giving us the inspirational hint of the finality of what is coming by using the term plagues here. He's saying, folks, it's about all over with, right? That's where he's getting, amen? These warlike horses are further described as if the description he has already given was not frightening enough. John sees more about the deadly power of the demons. He's made aware that not only is the power of the horses in their mouths, but also in their tails. Having likened the horses' heads to savage lions, John notes that their tails are like deadly venomous serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The horses' tails were not actual serpents because the horses were not actual horses. The horse was anointed with war force, the lion with vicious, deadly power, the serpent with deadly venom. So when we think about these descriptions, these images describe the supernatural deadliness of this demon force in terms that are commonly understood in the natural realm. However, unlike the scorpion, remember the scorpion stings from last Sunday night, the scorpion stings? Those things inflicted during the previous demonic assault, they didn't bring death, they just brought torment. Revelation 9:5. But here in this passage, the snake bites and the lions, the mouths of lions, those folks will be devoured and those things will be fatal. They will be fatal. Grace and mercy is running out on the earth, is what's happening. Grace and mercy is a great thing, isn't it, folks? I mean, I can't tell you, words cannot describe. I mean, really, words cannot describe. They just cannot come close to describing how blessed you are if you have received God's grace and mercy through the sacrifice of His Son. I mean, if your sins are under the blood of Christ tonight, What a place you're in, man. What a future you have to look forward to. I mean, it's just incredible to know that you're walking with Jesus through your life, that He's leading you. He's leading you. If you will submit and bow to His Lordship, He will lead you on, friend. He will lead you on. I'm telling you, He's got you by one hand, and in the other hand, He's taking care of business. He seeks for you to have a victorious Christian life. Amen? He loves you. God wants the best for you. You've been put here to bring glory and honor to His name. Amen? Thank you for hearing His Word tonight. Thank you for applying His Word tonight. Thank you for allowing His Word to wash you tonight. And in a moment, when we get ready to leave this place, may we all be able to say, man, I'm more like Christ because of coming here and hearing the Bible tonight. Amen? Amen? You think about God's Word this week. You think about praying this week. You think about telling that lost friend or family member or that acquaintance, that coworker, that neighbor. You think about telling them about Christ this week. Just let God lead you. He wants to lead you on. He's a sovereign God. He's got the whole world in His hand. Amen? The whole wide world in His hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're praying for Seth Knight as we close out tonight. Seth is a friend of Sandra Capps. Sandra Capps' husband and Seth were big buds before Sandra's husband passed away. How long has Sandra's husband been gone? 10 years? Longer than that? Okay. Well, they're big family buds, and Seth is up in Tomball Regional. I went to see him this afternoon, and praise the Lord, he's got assurance of salvation, and he knows he's heaven bound, and he's like, God take me home or God help me. He's got congestive heart failure. His body's retaining a lot of fluid, and he's got pneumonia. So he's having a struggle to breathe. Sandra's a good Christian friend, you know it? I mean, if Sandra Capps is your friend, you got a good friend. So Sandra's up there trying to minister to the family, and she wanted her pastor to come up there and pray with her friend. So we did that, and I told them that we would lift Seth up tonight. So let's close with a word of prayer. And we lift Seth up tonight. All right, our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you again, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power and the majesty of it, Lord. We thank you for the grandeur of your word, for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you trust us enough, you love us enough to give us the playbook, to give us how it all comes out in the end. Lord, we know that we'll be watching this, if we so are allowed to, watching this from the sideline of glory, the very throne room of you. And Lord, we pray now for those that are on the brink of salvation, that are on the very edge of getting ready to trust you. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to convict and Christians would come alongside and sow seeds. And there would just be a gentle nudging and urging for them to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father God, thank you that somebody loved us enough. Somebody gave to a church so there would be one for us to hear the gospel. Or they gave to a camp for us to go to and hear the gospel. Or they put on a VBS or an Awana program or a Bible study for us to hear the gospel. Or they put on a TV program or we heard a Billy Graham crusade. We heard the gospel. Praise God, there were people that loved people enough to sow the gospel. May we sow it this week. May we get the word of God out. Thank you for your church here, Lord. Thank you for their love for the word, their love for one another, their love for Jesus. We pray you use them in a mighty way this week. And Lord, as we close, we lift up Seth Knight to you. We pray for his health. We pray for a miracle of healing in his life. Lord, we pray you give him the grace and the mercy to withstand what he's having to go through right now. Be with his wife, Deborah. Be with Sandra, Lord, as she tries to minister to her friends. I pray that you would just anoint all of that. You would protect all of that, Lord. And as they seek to do the best they can do for Seth, Lord, I just pray that you're huge in his life right now. Thank you for his salvation. Thank you for the assurance of salvation that he has. And, Lord, we just pray you see him through the night, that you remove this pneumonia from him. Lord, that it just relieves the pressure off of his heart. and they can get the fluid down, and Lord, he can get back to a place of healing. Lord, I pray you heal him to the point that him and his wife can visit this church and thank this church for praying for him. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for Christian friends that love us enough to pray for us and to help us in time of need. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all.